This morning's message is the eyes of God. Does God have eyes? Does God have a physical body? You think so, huh? Okay. Well, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that God is spirit in John 4:24. What that kind of tells us is God's really kind of outside, beyond the realm of this physical world that we live in. God kind of transcends all of it, but we can't really quite grasp and understand what is beyond this physical world that we live in. So God explains himself to us talking about physical characteristics. And so the Bible talks quite a bit about God's eyes. It applies that physical characteristic to God. So we'll talk this morning about God's eyes. We use eyes in a number of ways in our speech. John Ryan, sit up straight. I got my eyes on you. Luann, I got my eye on you. Phil and Tara, don't worry about AJ. I got my eye on him. Your mom has eyes in the back of her head. She sees everything. There's a lot of ways that we use eyes when we talk. What does it mean? Proverbs 15:3 says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. God's like your mother or your first grade teacher. His eyes in the back of his head. His eyes are everywhere, Proverbs tells us. That might seem a little bit scary or suffocating to you. Most of us don't really like it if someone follows us around watching everything that we do. It invades our personal space. We may feel like they're just waiting for us to mess up. I know when I was in college and becoming a teacher, we had to do lessons with kids and we had to be watched. I know Dave, he does interviews and then he has to teach a lesson to kids in the interview committee, or they watch him teach a lesson. Most of us don't like being watched that way, where somebody's kind of checking us out to see how we're doing. Or I think it was on the way up to Beaver Camp, we were driving along the road and Luann said, I think the speed limit's 55 here. I was going kind of slow. And I said, yeah, I think it is too, but there's a policeman following me. So I was kind of careful. I wasn't going up to 55 because I wasn't sure. How do you feel when a policeman's behind you when you're driving? You probably don't like it. You're very careful because you don't want to be caught doing anything wrong. Is that how you view God? Like a policeman that follows you on the road just waiting for you to make a mistake? Is that your image of God? Like a cosmic policeman that follows you, watching your every move, ready to point it out as soon as you mess up? I think sometimes that is our image of God. And maybe sometimes, if that's our image of God, sometimes we decide, oh, well, then that's our role too in relation to others. It's our job to keep an eye on others and let them know when they're messing up. Hebrews 4:12-13 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." That's God's word. So God has a voice too, as well as eyes. "Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God sees all of your actions. That's what the Bible tells us. God does see everything. It's part of the truth about God's eyes. He sees all. He sees everything that you or I do. And we're accountable for that, Hebrews tells us. Everything's laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. It's not the whole picture, but it's part of the picture about God's eyes. And there's a real positive side to this, because there's part of it that we're like, I don't want God to see everything. But there's a real positive side to it. First, we tend to hide things that we're ashamed of. We don't want to show those things to people. And yet, we have this desire for people to know us. To know who we are. We want to be known, and yet we're afraid if we let people know everything, we'll be rejected. They might not like us. They might not accept us. They might not love us. So we hide things from people. Well, God knows us. He sees everything. We don't need to hide anything from Him. There's no point in it. Because God sees everything about us. So I can be fully honest with God. He won't be surprised, and He won't change His disposition toward me when I'm honest with Him, because He already knows. He already sees. That's one of the positive things about God seeing everything that I do, everything about me. Sometimes my mind is going where it shouldn't. Or sometimes when I'm tempted to do something that I should not, I do remind myself that God sees me and He's right here with me. And He sees what I'm doing or what I'm thinking about doing or even what I'm thinking at the moment. And it helps me. It helps me to know, yeah, God's here. He knows what's going on. Now, sometimes I still try to ignore that. You know, it's like a little kid. Have you ever played hide and seek with a really young child? And they go off and hide, and a lot of times they cover their eyes or close their eyes. And they have this idea that if they can't see you, you can't see them. They may not even be in a very good hiding place. But if they close their eyes, you can't see them. Sometimes maybe we're like that with God. If we just close our eyes and ignore Him, maybe He won't see what's going on. But He does. God sees every action. And part of Hebrews 4:12 here tells us that God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Everything's laid bare before God. So not only does God see all of our actions, but God really knows you. He really knows you inside and out, all the way to your heart. Everything you think of, everything you feel, God sees it. In 1 Samuel, we have the account of when Saul had been displeasing to God and God said he's not going to be king anymore, and He tells Samuel, we need a new king. Now, you need to know that Saul, when he became king, it mentions that he was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. He was a physical specimen. And so Samuel knows that he's supposed to go to the household of Jesse, and he knows that one of Jesse's sons is going to be the new king, the anointed king. And so he sees David's older brother come walking into the room or come walking up. And when Samuel saw him, he's like, this is the guy. He is going to be the next king. He also was a physical specimen like Saul. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, this is what God said to Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God really knows you. He knew who He wanted. David, the youngest son, is the one that it turned out was to be the next king. So God doesn't just see your actions. God sees your heart. He knows who you really are. Again, that can be kind of disconcerting, can it? I don't know if there's anything about you that's not really totally the best, but there is about me. God knows all of that. It also means that God will not misjudge us. Sometimes people misjudge my motives. God won't do that. You don't have to be perfect. God knows your heart. God knows the real you. That means God knows why you do something. He knows whether it's done out of love or out of obligation or out of fear or simply to influence others or to get your way. He knows our attitudes as we do a favor for someone. God knows us. He really knows us. And the amazing thing is that God knows us all the way through and He still loves us. He may not approve of everything that we do, and He may know things about us that rob us of life, and He may see the ugliness in us, but He still loves us. He knows us all the way through, still loves us. Well, there's more to God's eyes and what He sees. There's a story in 2 Chronicles, an account of when the kingdom was divided into Judah and Israel, southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. You might think of a North and South Korea. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel was the northern kingdom. And there were many times when, while they should have been brothers, they were enemies. And so in 2 Chronicles, it tells us how the king of Israel was building up the border just on the north side of Judah. He was building up Ramah, ready to attack Judah. Kind of like the things we hear about North Korea right now. And that was going on. And so King Asa, who's the king in Judah, what's he going to do? Well, north of Israel, there's another kingdom, Syria. And so he sends all of his silver and all of his gold to the king in Syria. And he says, hey, would you start attacking the northern border of Israel? Get their eyes off of me. And so that's what he did. Sent all the silver and gold to the king of Syria. The king of Syria attacked the northern border of Israel, and their attention was taken off Judah to the south, and Judah was able to tear down all those armaments that Israel had built on their border. After all of this took place, a prophet came to King Asa. And he said, why didn't you trust God? Why did you do this alliance with the Syrian king? Why don't you trust me? I've taken care of you in the past. I've taken care of your nation in the past. Why aren't you trusting me? And this is what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 from Hananiah the prophet. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. He says, God's watching. God is watching, and He was ready to strengthen you. But you didn't trust God. And so He tells King Asa how you're just going to continue now to have trouble with Israel. You're going to continue to have battles with them because you didn't trust me. So God calls us to trust Him. He says, trust that God is watchful of your need. That's what Hananiah was telling Asa. Trust that God is watchful of your need. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And in 1 Peter 3:12, as Peter is encouraging the church that he's writing to do what's right, don't do evil, he says this. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The eyes of the Lord are on us. He cares for us. He wants to watch out for us. He's watchful for our need. We need to be clear this morning that none of us is righteous, as Peter says. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. None of us is righteous because of what we've done, not because of how good we are. We're righteous because of what Christ has done in taking on our sin and in giving us his righteousness. That's what makes us righteous. We were dead in sin, but God had his eye on us. And he provided for that need. He provided the way for repentance and for forgiveness and freedom from the power of sin and death. Even when we were sinners, God had his eye on us that way, watchfully. This is the aspect of God's eyes that really got me started on this sermon this week. And this aspect of God's eyes really changes how we look at the first two aspects that we've talked about. The fact that God sees everything we do and he knows everything about us through and through. This part changes it. On Friday morning, my sermon was already partially written. I was doing something totally different from what you hear this morning. Friday morning, I was feeling the weight of some things in my life, in my family, in my church. And I began to sing. When I got over here to the church, into my office, I said, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me." And I thought, God's eyes are on me. God's eyes are on the people that I'm concerned about. God's watchful for their needs. I mean, what could be better than that? That God is watching and looking after their need. He's watchful. So let's revisit that image of a policeman following you on the road. What if you're driving in a particularly dangerous area and a policeman pulls out from a side street and begins to follow you? How do you feel now? Maybe you feel a little safer or a lot safer. Or what if you're stopped on the side of a dark road and your car is broken down and you have no cell coverage and there are no cars coming by until a policeman pulls up behind you? How do you feel now? It's a little different image of God seeing everything. Of God's eye always being on us. In fact, I believe that there's an even more accurate image here. It's that image of a parent being watchful for the needs of a child. Phil and Tara, don't worry about AJ. I have my eye on him. I think that's the real image of God's eyes. He's watchful. He watches for our need. Yes, God sees all that we do, and he really knows us. He knows our motives. He knows our attitudes. He sees right through us, and what we do is important. But God's true heart is to be watchful for our need. So trust God to be watchful for your needs. Whatever may be going on in your life, in the life of the ones that you love, I want to encourage you this morning that God has his eye on you. God has his eye on them. It means that God knows what you need, that he'll direct you, that he'll provide for you. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." God's watching for that purpose. Now, it might not always seem to you that God's eyes are on you or on the one that you love. The prophet Habakkuk had that problem. He has a great question for God. In Habakkuk 1:13, he says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" Habakkuk goes on to speak about how the evil person takes advantage of others and seems to be getting away with it. God, if you see everything, then why does it seem like the pain and the brokenness and the evil is winning out? Seems like that those who trust you are suffering, and those who don't are receiving the advantage. You may have that question this morning when you read the fact that God's watchful of us and our need. God answers in chapter 2. First of all, he speaks about the evil one. He says, see, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But, he says, the righteous will live by faith. God goes on there in chapter 2 to tell that the wicked will be called to account. And the key for the righteous is to trust that God has his eye on them and he's watchful for their need. And he says they live by faith. Believing that is living by faith. In the end, Habakkuk proclaims that he will wait patiently for all things to be made right. And even when everything seems bad, he says that he would rejoice in the Lord, that he would be joyful in God my Savior. So God's answer to Habakkuk is, I know it doesn't look quite the way you would expect right now, but things will be made right. And Habakkuk's answer is, okay, then I'm going to live by faith. I trust that your eyes are watchful for my need. In Psalm 33, we're reminded that God has his eye on all of us and that left to our own abilities, we're lost. But God has his eye on those who trust him and those who put their hope in him. Let me read. Starting in verse 12 of Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its strength, it cannot save. He says, we cannot save ourselves. Who can do that? But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those who hope in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in the holy name, in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. I found a lot of comfort this week. I continue to find a lot of comfort and hope in the image of God who has his eye on me, who has his eye on the ones that I love, not looking to strike me down, but being watchful of my need, watchful of the need of the ones I love, even when I can't see all of the good. God has his eye on you. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up, ask the rest of you to stand. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have your eye on us. And Father, we know that there's accountability involved in that. But we also know, Lord, that that's not really what it's all about. It's really about the fact that you love us and that you're able to care for us. You're able to watch out for us. And you're able to care for those that we love. You're able to watch out for them. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you that your eye is on us. And, Lord, we call out to you in the needs that we have, in the concerns that we have, And we place them before you, the one who has your eye on us. Lord, I thank you that you see us. In Jesus' name, amen.